This is an interview with Lino Tonelato by Madeleine Regan. It's the 16th of July 2010, and I'm interviewing Lino at his home in Newton. This is part of the Italian Market Gardeners project. Lino, we're going to start with your background, and could you tell me your parents' name and names and their date of birth?
Yeah, my dad's name is Secondo. And my mother's name is Elizabeth.
And your dad was born in
1893.
And your mother was born
1895.
And you were born in
1926.
Right. And your dad had come to Australia in
1927, I think. Yeah.
And do you know why he had come to Australia?
Well, to have a better life, I think. There wasn't much food there at all.
And can you tell me where your parents came from?
Came from Provincia Treviso, Caselle.
And Caselle would have been like a little town?
Like a suburb out of a... Treviso was the main, town, big town, and then this is a little town out of that.
Right. And do you know what your dad would have done before he came to Australia?
Well, after the war, the First World War, he was looking after, they gave him a job looking after the reservoir, because there was all rivers, you know, watering farm, little farms, and that certain time of the year when they were planting stuff. And then that ran out when things started to go bad. And, well, my sister, he must have left when I was pretty, I can't remember him there. But that's when he came to Australia to have a better life. And then he found it was bad here too.
And he told you that later that it was bad here. What did he say?
He said he'd save up some money on when he work up on the Mallee country, and then he came down on the farm and he saved up some money when he planted tomatoes, and he got us out here. That's how he got the paid a passage over, you know.
What was he doing in the Mallee country?
Well, on road work. Right. Them days there was no machinery, all done by hand. He was smashing with the crowbars and the sledgehammer, smashing the stones he used to put down, all by hand.
And so he got enough money to come back to Adelaide?
Yeah, he came back to Adelaide. Now, before that, when he finished there, they started one of the farmers said, he said they were looking for work, and they started making coal. They dug a big trench and they put from the farmer, cut the timber and put it in there, make coal out of it. And then when they finished making, they make a heck of a few tons, he couldn't sell it. So they come back to Adelaide, left everything there.
And he came to Frogmore Road at Kidman Park?
That's right, that's where he came to Frogmore Road.
And do you know how he would have got to have some land there?
Well, they leased the land there. People were there, and they leased the land from I think it was Harris Carfey's time. Or was it Bush or Harris Carfey? One or two, I forget now. But they started off like that, and they found this place. We lived there for quite a few years, and they had a big row of pine trees, and that sort of killed the coal and the wind. They planted tomatoes one year, outside tomatoes, and they got enough money for us to come over.
And when you say us, that included your mum and...
Yeah, All the family.
So there was you and how many other children?
Well, there was my older brother, Louis, and my sister, Rosina, and Albert, and then me, and then Nano, Orlando, that's what his name.
Yeah. And so when you arrived here with your mum and brothers and sister, you were 9 years old.
Yeah, forget now. I thought it was eight, but
eight or nine. And do you remember anything about coming?
Oh, now I'm not sure, but I think we might have landed at Port Perry because they didn't have any. The ship didn't come here because they reckon it was in. They pay a passage over to get us over from Port Perry because it was cheaper for them to do that than coming into port here in Adelaide, only for the one family. I remember looking at the, when Dad was talking to Mum, he said, oh, there would be plenty of oranges along the road. And we were looking for them, you see. There would be oranges up that way from Port Perry. But when we came down here, we said, where were we going to live? We thought we were Father Christmas.
Because something special was waiting for you, wasn't it? What was that? What was waiting for you when you arrived?
Oh, there was a neighbour that was working with. Pivis and with a partnership, you see, on the farm, on the maca garden. They were working together them days.
And your father had done something special about accommodation, hadn't he?
Yeah, King George. Carriage or what?
A train carriage?
Yeah, train carriage.
Do you remember what it looked like when you arrived?
Oh, I still remember. It was all nice and shiny and real polish, high polish. And it was not hot and not cold. Always the same temperature in there with no air condition. It was always the same temperature. Because the wall was three layers of cork to get them days that they never all filled in with cork. And the roof was three layers of for the roof.
So like good insulation?
Oh, insulation was beautiful, you know.
And this carriage had been a royal carriage, hadn't it?
It was a royal carriage because it had all the... Every window had hunting dogs and the
hunters.
And the horses, you know, hunting and that. They used to have a lot of sport them days.
Ah. So that was etched onto the glass?
Oh, yeah, all caved in. All cut in the mirror.
Wow.
Oh, beautiful.
And what colour was it inside?
Well, it was highly polished, not real dark, but a bit darker than that.
So, like wood?
Yeah, wood colour, but...
Kind of like oak or something?
Yeah, that's right, that's what it was. Yeah, all done with special wood.
Ooh. And were there bedrooms? And
there were six bedrooms and one each end of the carriage, big enough to put the tables and chairs and everything, you know.
And was there a bathroom?
Yeah, Dad made put the bathroom and the kitchen. He made one room for the kitchen, one room for the bathroom. Oh, yeah, they had everything out of hot water them days.
And what about electricity? Was there electricity when you arrived?
Next to?
Electricity.
It was all in there. They put the electricity in and everything. Yeah, it was all in, all fitted.
Ah.
Yeah.
And how far, because you used to call it the wagon, is that right? The wagon?
The wagon, yeah.
How far was that from the glass
house?
Well,
it took them all day from early morning to night time because they had to have the police and ship electric poles. It was that long they couldn't get around the corners then, Dave, from Islington.
Oh.
All the way from Islington to down Lockridge. But they couldn't get around the corner on the Grange Road there. They were stuck there for about 5 hours trying to get the post out to get across it. No, they reckon they had to lift up wires and all on the way.
How dramatic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had a special trailer they had to hire for it because it was over a chain long, you see. It was pretty long, I think. It was very long.
Yeah. We're looking at the photo of it on the wall there.
Yeah.
And Was it very close to where the market gardens were on the land?
Yeah, we're right on it.
Right on it.
Yeah. Working around this piece of land we had there. We're leasing it, that's what you're playing, you know. Oh, there was a lot more fun here than what it was over there, I'll tell you that now.
For you as a young boy?
Yeah.
So what did you do when you arrived? Did you go to school here?
Yeah, we went to school down, what's the name first? Not far from Underdale. And then the police came around after 6 months we were there. They paid all our, used to pay our fare. They wanted us to shift to a Catholic school. And Dad reckon, I can't afford it. We used to walk down there, you see. And then, he paid for the train to go backward and forward. The Catholic school did that. It was only a penny there and a penny back. And then we still had to walk another two, 3 kilometres back.
And did you like school?
Yeah, I liked school in the beginning. It doesn't take long to speak English when you're young, you know. It's, you get used to it. Only we had to run back home after to start work in the garden.
And what were
and before morning.
and before school.
Oh, yeah.
And what were your jobs in the garden?
Well, hoeing, cleaning, picking wood, beans and that. You know, when we got here, there was no glass house.
So what was your dad growing at that time?
Oh, collards and cabbages and potatoes, lettuce, things like that, you know. Because everything, they had no sprinklers in them days, like the, after we had them, but not in the beginning.
So
you
what
had the water flat.
What did your dad do about watering?
Oh, we had, they put a bore in. They did it themselves. They dug a hole and put a bore in. They found the water and that's what we were using. Beautiful water. You could do better than the tap water was then, though. Until the casing went broke, rusty, and then it was a bit salty. But before that, it was beautiful water. We used to drink that water instead of the tap water.
Because the bore would have been very important.
It was only 108 feet deep, but it was beautiful water.
And your dad sunk that bore?
Yeah, him and his Piovers and the car partner.
Right. And Piovesen had come at the same time as your father, hadn't he?
I think they were because it was the same time, I think, because I know that Nilo, he was born the day we arrived.
Nilo Piovesen.
Oh. Nilo, the oldest one. He was born. They all live in the same stables they made up to live in.
So you live quite close to the Piovesen family?
Oh, the two places were stuck together.
So you grew up with
those? Grew up together, yeah.
Yeah, because there were three boys.
Yeah. Dino, the second one, and Bruno, the last one. Three boys.
And the Piovesens were also from the same area in Italy?
I think they might have been around there somewhere. They told me once, but I forget now. It's another little town, but around there, anyhow.
And what was it like growing up being in a family where your dad was a market gardener?
Oh, we got to know a lot of people. You know, when you're a kid, you make friends with everybody. The food was an important one.
And what food did you enjoy?
Oh, I grew most of it, but enjoyed everything. I remember going to school when the others stayed home from school, and I used to buy six pies, penny pies. And they were bigger than what you get now.
Six
of them for dinner.
And you ate all of them?
Oh, yeah. And more, too. I remember one Friday, the nun said, "Oh, you can't eat that." I said, "I couldn't get any pasties, so I had to buy pies." Oh, yeah, that's from Friday, you can't eat it. She got him, put him in the bin, and she came out with a plate of soup. And she gave me that. I then hurried. She said, "You want another plate?" I said, "Yes, another big plate." It happened again after a few months. she said, "You better eat then." I was a big eater them days, even though I was thin. I used to eat a lot.
And did you like going to school?
Oh, yeah. The only trouble was when you leave school, you had to run and back home and get into the garden, and then books, we never used to see them. Only when we go to school.
So you had quite a busy life.
Oh, yeah.
With your family.
Nice. It was it was good.
What sort of things did you do to enjoy yourself, like, you know, with friends or with your brothers?
Well, no, we used to play a bit of football and cricket and things like that, you know, when you do when you're kids. Yeah. I played a bit of football and used to go to school with the team and that. That's about it. I wasn't much for sport. I used to, when we had the machinery, I used to work in the chandelier all night.
as a youngster?
Mechanic, yeah.
Oh.
I used to love doing that. I'm still doing it.
Yeah. And at what age did you leave school?
I think school holiday in September. And I had another 2 weeks to go after that. As far as I remember, I didn't go back. About 13 and a half, I think I was.
And what did you do instead of going to school?
Oh, in the garden all day. Helping Dad and things like that, you know.
Did your other brothers help your dad too in
the
garden?
Yeah. Albert, my older brother, he went to work because he was still in partnership. He went to work for the Fabro concrete, cement, footpath and things like that. And that's when he became of age, he kept going there, and what did they do? Oh, yeah, he was called up in the army. He was only in there for 6 weeks, and then the Fabro said he had a big job for the army, and he said, they said, "Oh, I've got my man, you call him up in the army." He said, "I can't do it now." "No worries." They got him out straight away. And they got him out, and he worked for the Fabro for more than 6 months or so, and then he worked for Uncle Porinka factory. Yeah, I mean, put him there, so he could work there.
And where was the Uncle Porinka factory?
Up on the hills.
Oh, right. Oh. That's all right. And when you went to work for your dad after you left school, did he have the glass houses at that time?
That's when we grew up, and then we save a bit, all of us save a bit of money, and we start buying half a dozen at a time. We start building more and more.
Where would you buy the glass houses from?
Oh, we bought them mostly secondhand. People had them, they sold out, and, you know, the new ones were too dear. You couldn't afford to. Every time we shifted, we used to make an extra one, you know, one or two extra.
And how often did you shift them?
Oh, every 3-4 years. See, we had the heavy soil, we didn't have to shift it. We said the crop used to do better when you were there 6-7 years. But the posts were rotting, so you had to shift them, otherwise, they're only Jarrah posts, you know.
And do you remember the dimensions of the glass houses?
Yeah, oh yeah, we used to build them, redo them. About 40 and a half feet. By 120 feet long.
And how high?
Oh, the side was about, you had to bend down like that and touch with your head, it's about two plain glasses of glass that were 16, 32 inches. By the time you put the rail, about 3.5 feet. Yeah, not even, no, about, yeah, bottom, yeah, about 3 feet. High, and the top were about 5-6 feet, the middle of it, you know, cable.
And when you watered in the glass houses, how did you do that?
I watered by, had 6 rows of tomatoes, one each side, and six, and then you watered 6 rows. Then, you know, the gutters, just 6 rows at a time.
So you'd get the hose from the bore?
No, we used to water rows, channels. You know, first you water them flat to plant them, and then they used to hoe and make channels. And tomatoes up here, and the channel here water that much. But guess why? You used to be filthy dirty all the time. You rub on each side of the tomato when they grow, you see.
And do you remember what kind of tomatoes your dad grew?
Well, different altogether than what you've got now. The Grizzlies or something like what you get now, but bigger tomatoes. And Dwarf. And yeah, he used to come about that high.
About 3 feet?
Yeah. That's all with the gross leaves used to come right up. You had to cut the heads off in the end because they were too high.
And how did you support the gross leaves as they grew up?
Oh,
you
tie a wire each row from one end to the other. And they had about 10, 20 feet at a wood instead of a steel. What they call them, where they hold the glass, the rafters. We had a wooden one, heavy enough to hook up the wire, otherwise it goes like that, and you tie them up. Six, seven, one, two, three. There was at least five rows. One, two, three, yeah, five. Six, five rows. And then after a few years, we made this one more in the middle, two double in the middle, he said.
And you also grew beans in there?
Beans, yeah, inside the glass house, yeah. Beans. After tomatoes were going down, like in, because he used to plant tomatoes, the young ones, in June and July. And because them days, housewife wouldn't buy tomatoes in winter. They wouldn't buy tomatoes. No, we plant them in July. They used to come in July to pick. January, we used to plant tomatoes in the glass house. And by June and July, tomatoes were ready to pick. Some, you know, and you couldn't sell them. They wouldn't buy them in the beginning because tomatoes, oh, no, it's not tomatoes. They only want them in the hot weather. But then now they sell them 12 months of the year.
And yeah. Who did your dad sell to?
Who
did your dad sell the tomatoes and beans and vegetables to?
He had a spot in the Central Market, and he said, with the horse, he used to go in there, the trolley, and you had your spot, you pay so much. Dad used to pay so much a year, but someone used to go, when they used to go to the market, they used to go in any spot where they were empty, if the owner, they knew the owner wasn't coming in for them, but the market people used to come around and charge you for it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did your dad also sell at the East End market?
That's the one in Adelaide, no?
Yeah.
The one,
Oh, that's what you, the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Not the one, Central Market, they used to call it them days.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right. And do you remember going to market with your dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we went a few times when I was young, you know.
Yeah.
After I was too busy working home, Dad was doing the marketing, which we didn't want to go. We didn't get up too early.
How early would you have had to have got up?
Well, with them days, I never went when the horses were going. When we had the truck, I went a few times, but you get tired, you know. You got to go to school, so you didn't go much. But Albert used to go with a horse and trolley. He used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and then stop on the way back to school, coming back from Adelaide at 12 o'clock. He used to get off with the horse and stop there. And what's they used to go to market them days? Bruno Pievers and his father used to get at the market. They used to be in partnership. And the teacher, poor teacher, he was going to sleep from 6 o'clock in the morning. He was going to sleep at the table, and the worst thing, the teacher never woke him up. He used to let him sleep.
That was kind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And was it different kind of work if you think about winter and summer in the gardens?
Well, in winter, outside you work in the rain and you can't get in there because it's too wet. And in summer, it's all right, but then you need a lot of water. But what's the name there? And then in winter, that's why you put the glass cells. You buy glass cells because otherwise you've got nothing to do in winter, much vegetable or anything like that. So when the vegetable finishes outside, you've got the winter stuff in the glass cells coming up. So you've got 12 months of the year going all the time. That's why the idea of the glass cells. And tomatoes were planted in January and then through winter. And when you get these days of big frost, we're up all night trying to keep them warm.
What did you do?
We used to light fires inside the glass cells. First it was outside, we found out that didn't work. We lost all the tomatoes. And then we put sawdust with buckets of 20, with a 4-litre bucket. Put a pipe down there and a pipe this way. And then you pack it in and you take the pipes out and you've got the funnel going through so the fire breathed and burned. Otherwise it conks out. And that way you save them, but you save them from dying altogether. But the frost still used to make them all empty inside. Didn't make much tomatoes at all. Sometimes you lose them all when they're even that big.
They hadn't grown very much.
I burn them off altogether. Oh, the frost. Oh, yeah. Tomatoes don't like the cold. And then we start putting oil. One year we put oil, buckets with oils like that, inside. But we didn't know the oil, the smoke, killed all the tomatoes just the same. So we had to put chimneys on them.
A lot of work.
Oh, all night. Up all night.
And how did you know that there were going to be frosts?
Oh, we used to listen to the weather a lot. Oh, yeah, well, it used to start. Sometimes the frost used to start. Them days, the tomatoes are getting cold. You go around and make sure that there's no frost in the glass outside first, and then it starts inside. When it starts inside, well, then that's when the tomatoes burn. It doesn't burn them from the cold, really. It burns them when you get the frost inside, and then it drips. And that cold water from the frost ice hit the plant. That's it. And it used to go right through from top to bottom, inside.
No wonder you were up all night, because it would be very important to keep that heat in the glass house.
Every time I see the frost, I say, oh God, what are they doing now? They're running around in the cold.
And then if you stayed up all night, what happened the next day? Like, just,
I had to get up again and fill all the buckets up again. Had a couple of hours sleep and that's it. Fill all the buckets up with the sawdust again.
Hard work.
We didn't mind it at all, you know, we enjoyed it.
And the fact that you were working as a family must have made a difference.
Yeah, it was hard work, but I don't know. That wasn't so bad when you look after the planet. There's a digging. You got to dig them all by hand.
What was that like?
After you finish the planet, you go through with a fork about that long.
How deep's that into the ground?
Turn it over.
Is that about 2 feet? That you'd have to dig down?
No, it's about a foot. Oh, that's why the tomatoes are a lot better now, because you rip them through deep, you see. And right through, you've got different soil altogether. Oh, now, they make a lot of plant, a lot of tomatoes out of a glass house now, not them days. You get 100. The first early one, you used to get 100 buckets, 100 half cases each glass house. We thought that was plenty. But now, 300-400. It's different.
How long would it take you roughly to dig over a glass house?
To what?
If you dug over a glass house.
Oh, myself and my brother, Orlando, and we used to dig 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. That's hot outside, inside.
So it's two of you digging. And how many glass houses would you estimate that your father and your brothers had at the most?
For living, when they first came out, my older brother got married, he had 6 glass houses, and he used to make a good living with 6 glass houses, even though there wasn't much tomato like they do now. But when you're getting 10, 20 pound a week, it's good living. But when you start digging out with machines, and then we invented we bought an old tractor and we made the cable for it to pull a plow through. We're the first one to do that. Well, rip it about that deep it used to go.
How deep's that?
Oh, pretty close to 2 feet. Sometimes we used to lose a plow underneath too. It wasn't really a plow, it was just a washing like that. And he used to push
like
the
ground
up. Yeah, like two blades together, and push the saw right up and move it. And then we had a hand lawnmower, a rotary hoe, we used to do with that.
How would you use a hand rotary hoe?
Them days, the first one to come out was only about 18 inches wide, and 2 wheels and a motor in the front, and hand by hand.
You kind of walked along?
Yeah, we walked along with it. After the war, that's when they come, they made it still. Sometimes you used to lose it. I had to dig it out, because the wheels were only that wide, and you used to dig yourself in.
So the wheels were quite narrow?
Yeah. But then the rubber tyres come out, and you have to be careful, you know.
And whose idea was it to have the cable?
Oh, Albert was the first one. We worked together. That's what he thought. We got the tractor, the side was down there, and then we made some good money out of it. See? We used to do it for other people.
So you'd go and dig
glass houses like that.
Oh. It obviously was better than doing it by hand.
Oh, yeah, a lot better. Still had to do it around near the post and that by hand, but it was a lot better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you think about Frogmore Road at that time, you know, that you had started working with your dad, what did it look like, you know, the area around?
Well, it was all little market gardens, all done by hand. You see people working on an acre of land. It's all done by hand, and they still make a better living than what they were anywhere in the world, I suppose. I don't know. Mm.
And what did it look like? Were there fences or many houses?
Oh, we used to put up bamboo fences and that for windbreak, for outside vegetable and that. We used to put them up. They had bamboos. Some places had a lot of box thorn, you know, but we used to cut the box thorn and keep them that wide.
Keep them about what?
About 2 feet wide, otherwise they wind blow them over.
Who would have planted the box thorns to begin
with? Oh, the bird. He only had to plant one because they make little marbles, red marbles, and the bird used to love them. But then the seed, the dropping, come up. In all the fences were like that, or where the drops of the birds, up comes the thorn, the box thorn. Mm. They got them out from England, the box thorn, the seed, for windbreak. But then they didn't know the birds spread them out. Yeah.
And were there you know, many other people in around where your family was who were working the land?
Oh yeah, quite a few. So the whole area was all like a garden. You know. Well, I suppose they had to get a living somewhere, you know. The only, when they come here, they could understand much, to speak much English, know what to do. So they had to start off something. Because over there, they only had little gardens too. And they plant, where we come from, they used to plant once a year because you get the snow that high. Every year, you see, I still remember the snow there.
Really deep, like you just pointed to what, about 2 feet?
Oh yeah, but even the creeks, it's just, they used to come up with ice and you used to skate on them. I still remember a kid fella broke the ice, he went down the ice, it was too thin, he was stunned, he couldn't get up. They had to break the ice to get him out.
And he was saved?
Yeah, he was lucky, he was safe, he found some air. They freeze there, straight away.
And do you think it would have been something that your father had to, and other market gardeners had to learn, that there were opportunities for more than one crop a year here in Adelaide?
Yeah, he heard from other people. See, he knew some other people that came here. Yeah. He knew that our warm, that you never get snow here unless you go to the mountains and all that, you know, they must have. He was supposed to be in Canada or here. Which one they opened first? Australia opened up first, so he came here instead of going to Canada. See, we got relation in Canada too.
So people had to leave region?
Nothing they could do, you know. A lot of them stayed there, but most of the young people all left them days.
Had your father's or your mother's families been landowners?
Landowners, what do you call landowners? I think they used to lease something.
Right.
Only about, when they call their kampu, it's like 2.5 acres here, 2.25 acres. One acre is one of their kampi, they used to call them. It was 2.5 acres here, 2.25 acres. And she only had, when Dad wasn't there, I remember going down there and help her to weed the corns and make, then they used to make bread with it. That's all. It's the only bread we had. Mm-hmm. Out of corn. See how they get.
So that's an indication of the kind of poverty.
Oh yeah, it was poverty, all right. Yeah, see, mostly, that's why we couldn't eat polenta. You know what that is? Mm-hmm. We like it now, but it took us 30 years before we started eating it.
Why?
Because you had too much there. That's what you're having all day.
And not enough variety of...
No, only that. And vegetables they used to grow out on a piece of land. Mum used to grow in a small area. Used to what? A bit of vegetable, that's all.
And five children.
And five kids that were crying for food. Mm-hmm. And my sister used to say, and older brother, they say, oh yeah, it was wonderful when Dad was home and he had that job there. We were better off than anybody in the town. Yeah, I said, well, he was working, the council used to pay him well. He came back from the army and they gave him that job when he got married. Like they did here, returned soldiers, they gave them a piece of land each. Something. They didn't give them the land, they just gave them a job. But he thought, well, the kids are growing up. He said, you had to think of something.
So, big decision to go to Australia.
Yeah. We were all happy about it, but at the same time, like to leave your great-grandfather back, you know, in them days. I still remember him, the my mother's father. He had to be home by himself.
Must have been hard for your mother to leave him.
It was very hard.
And what about your mother here in Adelaide? What was her life like as you were growing up? What did she do?
Oh, she had a job to look after us. And she used to come out on the garden the same as everybody else. Oh, yeah. She had enough work to look after us. Just when we were all growing up, you know, feed and washing and ironing and all them sort of thing. Five, six, seven of us all together, you know. It was pretty hard for her. But she still put on a lot of weight. She was as thin as a stick over there, and when she came here, she went that way. She was happy.
Did she have friends here?
Yeah, she had most of the people that the PI was in, they had Johnny's father.
Johnny Marchioro.
Marchioro, yeah, just up further, next farm. Yeah.
And did those men get together, you know?
Oh, they used to get there and play cards and that at night, you know, that's what the main thing was them days, play cards. And then when we used to talk, it wasn't bad. Better life than the other side, any time.
And did your father make wine
when he could afford it. After they were growing up, we'd get a bit of money, we used to make his own, their own little wine. Yeah, that's what I said. When we were kids over there, we used to drinking wine. I remember that. And one year, when we just arrived, we made 35 gallons of wine. 35 gallons of wine, you know how long it took to finish that off? Seven of us at the table with a big glass each of wine for dinner. He said, ha ha, no more. He said, we're going to start on tea. Start drinking tea and never touch the wine again. I never have any drinks here, beer or wine. Anybody comes over, like my brother-in-law, Elio and Frankie, when they come here, they don't get any drinks, any wine or beer. They take their own.
So your father didn't drink after that?
One glass for dinner. That's all. He never drank much, did he, Rana?
No. What about things like killing the pig? Did your parents do that?
What?
Kill the pig?
Yeah, we used to kill pigs every year.
And where would you have got the pig from?
Up on the hills and people that grow them, you know, things like that. We used to have them ourselves. We used to grow them ourselves, some of them. But they used to smell like mad, you know. Even calf. We used to go down, people that had milking cows, they never used to worry about the male. They used to get rid of it, kill it, and throw it and bury it. So when they were just born, if it was males, they would have nothing to do with it. So we used to go there and get it for nothing.
Where would you get them from?
When where the Santon lived, that was a dairy farm.
So that's on the other side of Frogmore Road, yeah. Near the sandhills.
Yeah.
So you'd get the male cow.
Yeah, but somebody had to run. You had to be there waiting for it to be born because everybody else was just waiting for it too. But then they came. Even the dairy man said, "Nah, male, female, whatever it is, male." He said, "I'll sell them." He got money for it, but nothing like it. And then he wasn't allowed to. Well, they complained about killing them. We used to kill it, wait till they come about that big.
How big's that?
Would it be about that big? We used to feed him. We had a cow, we used to give him milk cow. The milk, it was beautiful meat then days. And then he wasn't allowed to do it anymore after a while because the abattoirs complain about it, so we had to stop that too.
And what other animals did you have? You said that you kept pigs for a while, but
Well, only one.
Oh.
Just for the year, you know. We were allowed then, the pigs, even then they stopped because of the, you had to go to Abbott. You could have a pig, but you couldn't kill it. You had to go to Abbott's to do it. They used to do it for you. Yeah, they charge you. It wasn't worth it. But they used to kill it for you, clean it and everything. You come home with it nice and clean, you know, you cut it up, make the sausages. But you can't eat sausages the way you make it at home. They can't make it here because they wouldn't make any money. Used to, on a pig, say about 300-400 pound pig, we used to put about 100 pound of meat with it. You know, it's all done with a hand turning too. That's a big one, but it's done all by hand.
And good eating.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, what's the name? Here it makes about the same. The butcher we got down there, Nino's Butcher, they call it. He's beautiful meat. They're not bad. Mm-hmm. But not, he's still got to put his head. He used to buy it for my brother because that was real pork, you see. He said, I can't make it like that. I won't make any money on it.
And where would your mother have kept the sausages? Like, did you have a cellar or anything like that?
In the cellar, yeah. We made a cellar under the pine trees.
So you would have dug that cellar?
Yeah. We dug a hole and put roof on it and put soil on top of it, earth on top of it to keep it cool. But before that we had then the ice fridge come out. So we had to buy ice every, I think it was a block every 2-3 days, wrap it up with bags and put it in the box and a little, what's that, fridge underneath. Only with ice.
And how did you get the ice? Did someone come
around? They used to deliver. Oh. Them days was milk delivery, everything delivery. You used to get delivered home. You cut all that out now. It wasn't a shop like it now. It wasn't a supermarket like here. They used to call it the corner store.
Yeah. Where would your parents have got their groceries and things like that?
Well, another one they would deliver it. They used to come around with a grocery, a vegetable truck or something, and she used to get all their bread delivered, everything delivered. They used to go around and I know she used to buy 6-7 loaves every 6 loaves every other day of bread. That's how much we used to eat.
And was there an Italian bakery at that time?
Yeah, there was one. No, not when we first arrived. After there was years after they were started. And so they came around and get the continental bread. It's a lot better than having the square one half cooked. Mum used to put it in the inside to cook it more sometimes. But that was still, when you're young, you don't think of that, you just eat.
And on your farm also, like, did you have a milking cow?
Yep.
Yeah. And so horses?
Yeah, we had 3 horses. Yeah. Yeah, because they used to get tired, they go to the market and back, you know. And they work all day pulling a plough, working like that. So we made it 3, so one to stay home, and he's the one that was doing a lot of work at home, and the other 2 going to market. But that, after the war, and even during the war, before the war, we got a little Ford truck, no windows, nothing, just a little cabin made of wood, the Ford, or they used to call them, Ford something. Oh, you still see them on, only on show now. Chuff, 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 chuff along, 30 miles an hour. And then during the war, everybody who had a little truck or anything, every once a week, they go down Woodville on the Oval and train to home guards. That's where they used to laugh their heads off.
And what was the idea of that?
Well, in case something was coming up, sort of the Japanese come in, and you've got, they've got the trucks and everything, the home guard, they call them, and they used to drive, pick people up and take them out to safety, sort of, you know, just things like that.
And were you involved in that training?
No, I didn't. Oh, no, that was my father, my brother, older brother used to go, and Neil's father, they used to laugh their heads off when they used to hit each other.
And do you remember much else about the war years?
Well, I was called up, and because my brother was called up, they left him home. I was called up. When you come of age, 18, you go for an examination, and they said, "What do you do?" "I'm a marker guard." I said, "We got contract with the army, cabbages, collies, and potatoes. We had a contract for the army at Keswick." And they go, "Well," they looked it up, "we were there, then we had the contract to plant stuff for the army. So, no, we don't need you. You go home and feed the army." So, a friend of mine, Australian chap, we used to go to school together. He nearly wet himself when they called him up. He didn't want to go. He was a shoemaker. And they left him home to make shoes for the army.
And was he happy about that?
Oh, he was happy all right.
And what about you? What do you remember? Like, did it feel... good that you weren't being chuffed off somewhere to the army?
No, well, I said, if I go, I told Mum, if I have to go, that's all there is to it. See, Sunta's brothers, they were in the army, the older boy. And he was lucky when overseas, his uncles and relation over there.
This
all three.
Asunta, your cousin who lived with you, and her brothers.
Her stepbrother,
yeah. And you know the contract with the army to grow the food. Did the army come and collect the food each week that they...
No, we used to take it there.
So you...
Take it there in Keswick. And they used to, you take it today, tomorrow you get the check. They used to be pretty good for that. But they used to rot a lot too. Potatoes, they took that a week before, you got to say next week, they want say 20 or 30 bags of potatoes. But not only the one, we're not the only one that was taken there, a lot of other people. And they used to be, they used to leave all the back ones all rotten. You know, because they always pick the front. But they pay pretty well. You know, they take cabbages and collies and things like that too.
Do you know how that contract would have
started?
Well,
it was a contract. Well, then it was... It was not... I don't think it was a written contract. We were looking for it, you know. I don't think it was a written contract, but because they used to like buying from the straight from the gardens, you know.
And do you have any other memories of those war years growing up? Or?
We never had any trouble as far as war time go. We used to get along fine with everybody. Any friend of ours, because they come from the north, south of Italy, they didn't used to like it much because they were real dark, you know. They got into trouble, but we never got into trouble. We had all Australian friends who went to school together. I remember one night we went down Highmarsh Church there. We said, "Come on." He said, "Let's go knock the Dagos out." And I said, a friend of mine said, "If only they know who you are."
They didn't know you were Italian?
No.
So the word Dago was used?
Some people used to get mad about it. What about it? They used to get, wasn't it? We had people, made of my friends, and the Lebrons and the, what's that from Finden there, motorbikes, we used to go a lot on motorbike races and that, you know. Not, we never used to race, but watch them run, yeah.
And, Lino, you bought some land with your father, didn't you?
Yeah.
And two of your brothers, or one of your brothers?
Yeah, Nano. Together, we bought that piece of land there. It was 10 acres, I think, 10 acres. And the one, my brother used to lease 1 acre to put his glass, 12 glass house. When he got married, his wife had 6 glass house. And he took 6 from, well, his share. And 6, yeah, so they started him off. He started him off pretty good with 12 glass house. Very good. Mm.
And we're coming to the end of this part of the interview, but if you look back over those early years of your life growing up, what stands out for you?
Well, when I met my wife, that was the best day of my life, you know.
And how old were you when you met?
First time I seen her was, I was 22, I think. No, 20. Then she disappeared for a couple of years, and then I met her again, so
What good fortune that was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lovely note on which to end. And you've been married for a long time, haven't you?
Well, it's December, it'll be 60 years.
Oh, that's lovely, and congratulations. That's fantastic. And thank you very much for the interview and sharing your
pleasure.
Stories about Frogmore Road. Thank you, Lino.
No worries. Thank you.